we are quickly going to walk through the apologies, and I have the apologies from the state law advisor, Ms. Van Aswiechen, as well as the parliamentary law advisor, Mr. Jenkins. The minister also was going to apologize. I don't know whether she's still going to come or what's going to happen. She's coming. Okay. Initially, I had thought that she was not going to come. Oh, by the way, we had written a letter requesting her to be present. But initially, I thought she was not going to be available. I thought the deputy minister was going to be present. The DG, welcome you and your team. We basically have three items on our agenda. The report of the ECA process, the ECA bill process, had requested that we get a report back from the department or the ministry on the ECA bill and the issues that we had raised during the deliberations, and some of which are contained in our report, and then the adoption of both the annual and the legacy report. We will then get into the business, and may I take this time and welcome the minister in our midst. I thought the minister would not come because she had written me a letter. I thought it would not have been necessary for the minister to come, but typical to her character, she's always been sure that she attends meeting. I think there's a document that has been circulated from the ministry to the chair of the committee. I would request that members go to that document at that one page because it has an effect and impact on our report. And because we also have a limited time, just reflecting on the report, there is a lot of, should I say typo, at the end of the typo error, but there's an improvement on the lingo. You know, I write from my position as a person who did the Bantu language English. Now, for Madam Shin and Madam Julie, and Mr. Killian, who has an advantage of a better education.
Chairman, just a point of order. Mr. Killian, that's not my name. I would be very glad if that is not
me. Madam Killian, Mr. McKenzie, there are certain improvements, you know, to cross the T's and dot the I's, and which I think we shouldn't deliberate on because it goes away. We don't have time. We'll accept all the technical recommendations. What we may need to do really is to delve into some few substantive issues which I think we need to deal with and then wrap up on our report. But at this point, perhaps I should allow the minister to take the floor.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning to all the members of the Popular Committee and the invited guests. Chairperson, you will remember that last year, after President made the announcement, he added certain responsibilities to the department. And as we inherited the work that needed to be done, already we were in the process of engaging with the bill and different submissions were made by the different stakeholders. One of the crucial things that we have decided to focus on as the department is to say as much as we have to respond to the submissions to say how do we address the concerns that have been raised, but also we have a responsibility to move towards a legislation and regulation that is not only looking inward, but that is looking into the broader interests of the country to say whether the department, we do play a role, but it is minute. The broader role in terms of advancing the work of the sector is done by the private sector. Therefore, it's very important that we try to reach sufficient consensus on it. Of course, at times it doesn't mean that we're going to have an overall 100% agreement, but in the areas where we can be able to work together and try to make sure that we agree on certain things without compromising, of course, the policy imperatives that must be driven by the department and legislation. So we then extended our network to ensuring that we reach out to the industry. We met with the different operators. We are still continuing with engagement with others in order to make sure that by the time we say this is the finality of the matter, we know we've had all. As we do that, Chairperson, we then requested that if Parliament allows us, we would like to withdraw the bill so that we can pay attention to the matters that have been raised in order to make sure that indeed there's smooth processing, but like I said, not only looking at what that we want to achieve as a department, but to provide that country approach to say South Africa, we want to drive the fourth industrial revolution, and crucial to that are these elements. How do we make sure that everybody is sharing the same vision and therefore is able to identify his or her own role? That's our presentation to the Portfolio Committee to say apologies that we had to allow you to do all the work that you did, and of course triggered by the inputs that we made, and in our quest to make sure that we try to rebuild the relationship with our industry, we are then forced to withdraw and look into the matters that have been raised. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. Thanks, Minister. Members, any takers? Madam Shin? Mama, oh, Ma'am Sotezin? Yeah, you may proceed.
Thank you, Chairperson. Minister, welcome to our portfolio again, and hopefully it will be one, I presume it will all be one next term. Thank you very, very much for your decision to withdraw the bill. That is to be applauded. It shows a new, fresh direction, perhaps, of the department, that it actually needs to look at the private sector as the main enablers of ICT, and rather than have the department as a dead weight on the sector. That was very apparent in the bill itself, that the bill was taking an awful lot of work from the private or putting encumbrances in the way of the private sector. What I would like to know from you is whether the loan is going to be withdrawn in its entirety, or whether you're going to, as has been suggested, actually, just if there's a private sector consortium that wants to, you know, establish itself to get hold of some of the spectrum, you know, the licensing regime already exists for that. So whether you're going to do away with the legislating arm of a private sector loan, because yeah, that would do, and also the rapid deployment guidelines as well. And also, if you could say something now that you're, well, ICASA is back in our sort of broader fold, whether you're going to strengthen the mandate of ICASA, its independence, and properly resource it to do the job that is already enabled, that is already mandated to do by the current legislation, because that's half the battle. Sorry? The ICASA, are you going to, entrench it in independence and properly resource it both with skills and finances to do the work that is already mandated to do to transform the sector? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson, and compliments of the year to everyone. Yeah. Minister, we'd like to thank you for being so considerate and for the bill. I mean, the challenges that have gone through during the process of the public hearing, it was really tedious, and one could feel that we are really neither here nor there, because it was not covering what we actually wanted to cover. We need to reach a certain target, and many people were really excellent about the processes that we did not rush and just opt for Malaysia's compliance just to please people and all to find that we have to go back to the drawing board and restart the process afresh. Really appreciate being considered to self and your team. Thank you, sir.
No other speakers, Madam Julie?
I forgot now. I'm sorry, Chair. I've missed one session of Parliament and then I forget how the gadgets work. Can I just add my voice to say to the Minister we welcome her approach to the bill. We wish her well in further deliberations. We believe this is probably one of the most critical areas of development in our country that can really transform society, and not only the business sector, but really society. And if we as government can leverage and cooperate with the private sector and make sure that they actually deliver on government's priorities, it would be a win-win for all. And we believe it is achievable, and we want to thank her and say to her all the best. We hope that she will steer the ship. And as you know, Chairman, most ships have a woman directing them in the front. You know those old warships? We want the minister to take on this very important journey and to make sure that we deliver on expectations from communities in outlying areas who really want to be digitally part of the economy. So we wish her all the best and thank her for her approach to withdrawing the vote. Thank you.
Thank you. Colleagues, I think you've covered the important aspects in appreciating the stance taken by the ministry, especially because that was part of our recommendations in our, as we concluded with our report. But that being said, Minister, when we dealt with the bill, we also had an opportunity in our interactions with the industry players to accept certain commitments that they were making to transforming our country. And I want to assume that those commitments did not just come about because of the pending enactment of a bill. The bill may have influenced some of the commitments, I don't know, but, and we do have some representatives present here. Our expectation as a committee would be that whilst we have this avenue created for interfacing, interaction between the department and the industry, coming back to Parliament with a formidable piece of legislation. Those commitments that were made to the portfolio, and I guess the DG would know some of those things, we expect that those things will still be carried forward. We expect empowerment that was presented to us as commitment to continue. We expect the industries to respond to the call by our country and our president to make sure that the investments into our economy continues, the jobs that needed to be created gets created, the transformation of the ICT sector in terms of participation of women, youth, and everyone else, those things must continue. And hopefully the sixth parliament will, as part of its oversight, engage with yourself as the ministry, department, as well as the industry on those commitments, because they are very crucial. And the minister has the liberty, together with her team, to reflect on the matters raised by members briefly. Ups. Yeah, but.
Thank you, Chairperson. I saw my Russian blocking booklet when you made that announcement. I want to respond to a few things that Madam Shun just raised. The question on the matter of, one, will it be withdrawn or what? We're still engaging, as I have said, we're still engaging with all the people involved, the industry players, the regulator and everyone. Therefore, for now, we can't say it's going to be withdrawn or it's going to be included. We will then, upon all the deliberations, then be able to come and give you feedback on that. On the issue of the rapid deployment, we are engaging with the Department of Culture, specifically Minister Mkhize, to say how to make sure that we work together to identify the role by local government. Earlier on, I spoke of the added responsibilities to the department, a clear directive to say, now we have to lead the 4IRs, which therefore means that there's also a need for reconfiguration of the department and how it does things. Certain functions will have to be given to local government, if needs be, in terms of regulation. But we also have to make sure that as we roll out this infrastructure, there's uniformity on it, and for the specific roles for all of the sectors that are involved. So we are exploring that to say how best can we work together to make sure that nobody suffers whilst we're trying to do good for the country and for those that we service. On the issue of ICASA, its independence and capacity building, I mean capacitation in terms of the finances and all the other resources that are required. The minute I spoke about the added responsibility in 4IR, it therefore meant that there's a lot that needs to change. The ICASA that we have, does it respond to the challenges that are faced by the 4IR? Is it able to regulate, taking into consideration our own legislations as Parliament? Are they helping us achieve the 4IR that we're talking about? If not, what are the challenges? What is it that we need to do to make sure that we empower them to be able to respond to those challenges that are posed to us by the internet regime? Because previously we've been focusing on the voice side of things, be it legislation, be it regulation and policy. Now, does it work that Cadillac that you bought in 1980 and today it's 2018, we keep on fixing this part because this all the engine is like this, we keep on amending. Does that approach assist us to be effective in the drive that we want to drive? Now, we are saying it's high time that we have a dialogue, we engage. What is that we want for South Africa in terms of the fourth industrial revolution? Do the policies support that? Do the legislation, including the regulation, but what is the capacity that we have? One of the things as we were embarking on consultations with the entities under the department, the trade department, that we identified, we agreed on that let's have a skills audit so that we can understand the capacity that we have. Is it able to provide the direction that it's supposed to provide to the country, not only to do that bit of work that I do at post office and therefore that's fine, but the work that I do at post office, how does it affect the other sectors that I'm working with? So we're embarking on that to say this is our capacity and there is a need to make sure that we upskill where there's a need and we source new skills, and that also goes with the resources financially that must be given to ensure its independence, because we can't take pride in the fact that we have independent organizations if they are funded somewhere or we're not funding them sufficiently, as that has an opportunity or a potential of endangering their own independence. So we are saying what are the measures that we must bring on board, including the time frames or the period that we take to produce a legislation or a regulation. Does it assist this industry to grow and be able to innovate as we wanted to innovate? Because like I said, the department will not be able to only contribute probably 2% of what is supposed to be done in terms of the ICT space. The rest of the work is done out there by the industry and other sectors. So we're exploring all those avenues to say, what is that we need to have in place? What are the new things that we must introduce? And therefore, the configuration that I spoke about will help us look into those areas. We are, Chairperson, again, utilizing the partnerships that we have. because as you know that the president has said that we have to merge the three departments, when it's two, communications and telecommunications, including the entities under them. And as we undertake that measure, that's why we said, first things first, understand the capacity within. Are you able to meet this that the president wants you to do, promoting or leading in the 4IR? What is that going to require? So even not just on the ICASA, even on the department itself and other entities, we'll be seeing lots of changes to make sure that we are able to respond to what the 4IR requires us to do. We are not doing this as the department only. We have requested the president to appoint an IMC because infrastructure, telecoms, and all that is just a component of ensuring connectivity that people can be able to enjoy the spin-offs in terms of the 4IR. So the other departments, there's lots of work that they do, so we have asked the president to do that, and we are happy that the president has announced that he has appointed a commission. We are making a follow-up. We realize that the presidency has not gazetted the names or has not published the names of the commissioners. We're making a follow-up with his office to make sure that that happens. And that we believe that's a step towards to say, how do we sing from the same book to say we have a coordinated plan, but that structure must ensure that South Africa responds to that. Not government, I want to emphasize, not government's response to 4IR, but South Africa responding to 4IR. That is why our honorable members will be sending again to yourself an invite that will be hosting the Digital Economy Summit that we're hosting with UJ, VES, and Forte. We have been sponsored by Telkom. We are working with the industry and all the other sectors, energy and everybody that is involved, to say, what is it that we want South Africa to do or to identify its own niche as we drive the 4IR? And as we come out of that, of course, that's the work that stands jointly with the new commissioners that will be on board, and then be able to say, coming back to Parliament, what is it there for? Because you'll be part of that, to say, from the legislative side, these are the things that we need to do. And therefore, different sectors will go back and come up with their own plans in response to the country's plan. We call it 4IRSA, 4IR South Africa, because like I said, we don't want it to be a government plan. Government must come with its own plan to say, this is our response in terms of the responsibilities that are given to us, legislature, and the private sector and the different sectors. An invite will be sent to you once we have finalized all the logistics. Thank you, Shemeza.
Oh, I said no follow-ups. Sorry?
Thank you. Yeah, Chairperson, during the processes of the public hearings, there was a loud cry regarding lack of transformation, particularly by the small players. Can Mr. assure us that this withdrawal is not in any way going to affect all processes of transformation?
Yeah.
Be careful that as well. She said it. That's a commitment. But just as we want to thank you, Minister, and would allow you to leave if you, unless if you want to sit around, we don't want to keep you unnecessarily. You know, there's something very interesting that I came across over the festive season. That South Africa compares so beautifully with Thailand in terms of the Minister, we're having a record. South Africa compares so beautifully with Thailand in terms of our population, our income levels, and everything. But quite advanced in terms of internet penetration and the whole direction that we are taking for IR penetration. It is something that you may want to look at as to how they got it right. Because the population is exactly ours, 50-50, 52-53. In GDPs and everything, almost alike, but they have left us. Then we have the gaps on your sector. So if you could just find time and just check what is it that separates us from Thailand, when we actually are almost have been coming on a secular plateau. Sorry to interrupt you for moving you. Welcome. Thank you. Colleagues, our report. What it means is we will then have to rework our report. I think our report appears fair, true and true, until we come to recommendations. But there are certain matters that have been suggested, save for the technical matters, are the matters that members want to raise on page number two. Why? Yeah, page number one. Sorry?
Which one?
You see, you still have your report. The ECA report. The minister has not withdrawn the ECA report. She has withdrawn the bill. But we must then still report to Parliament that the bill is withdrawn, isn't it? Yes. So I just want us to adopt our report. That's why I was started by saying we'll have to effect certain changes, especially on our recommendations. But I wanted us to walk through the report and look at some substantive adjustments to the draft that we had circulated. Madam Shin. Madam Killian. Yes, Madam Shin.
Yes, Chair, on the first page, we talk about the notice for public comment. The only notice I could find was on PMG, which said that the notice went out on the 14th of November, which would then give 7 days, and there was also an advert placed. I just wanted us to be clear on when the first comment went out, the invitation for public comment went out, and if we can document where that was. There's also a reference to it somewhere else in the document, which said that the bill had been translated into 11 languages.
It's fine, yeah.
So if you can correct, get some clarity on that. Now, I presume it wasn't.
No, it was my mistake.
Okay.
It was the advertisement was in 11 languages.
The advertisement in 11 languages. So it says the advertisement in 11 times.
Sorry?
The advertisement went out in 11 languages.
Yes.
And it was published in 11 different publications?
In, how many? Sir, can you respond there?
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, members. The advertisement to call for written comments was put up on Parliament website, yes, in the 11 official languages. And add on to that, we published a letter to editors just to put more emphasis. It was published electronically, just that I was not aware that perhaps this matter would arise, but I also did prepare a report about the coverage that we received, online coverage for calling for public comments. We did get coverage.
The question, because the issue that we are wanting clarity on, didn't we procure space in several regional and national papers and publicized it in the 11, I mean, meaning the advert, not the bill, but the in all 11 languages, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
Yeah?
We did. I have sent members while we published it, the list of when we publishing it. I'm going to look for it and resend it.
I'm not raising an issue, but I just think that if you're going to report in our report as to how invitations were submitted or sent out, or with, sorry, should I say, how public comment was solicited through adverts, it's changed from the translation of the bill to the translation of the adverts, and just actually know where those went. As I say, because I could only find the PMG announcement, which actually says that it was announced on the 14th, which obviously is wrong, because there was obviously something else that PMG was unaware of. So I just think we need to just be accurate on when it went out, and it went out in 11 languages to 50 newspapers on the parliamentary website or whatever.
Yeah.
If we can just have
we correct them. But You? Yeah, well, I think we don't have to issue every newspaper, but just to say, just to confirm that it was advertised in 11 official language, the advertisement, the call for written submission, not the bill. It's an error that I committed in crafting the thing. But now, and the date of the publication, because we gave the thing we gave the advertisement for 4 weeks, isn't it? Up to the 30th of November. It was raised in the meeting, Madam Chair. Perhaps you may have missed it. But anyway, the bill was published, or the invitation was publicized for 4 weeks. And it was closed, I think, on the whatever date. 20th? Yes. So, yeah, I think all we need to just do that. We can't use the PMG one because it's obviously not our initiative. It's like when the DA go and publicize it on their website. We can't say you publicize it. We never ask you. It's something that they did voluntarily, and we shouldn't use it in our documentation, I think, unless if we have no authority. So I think, yeah. So that proposal, I request that we use ours and not anything else that we saw somewhere.
That's fine, just as long as we know where it is, because the only reason that we find is PMG.
Okay, perfect. It's fine. But it was circulated in the committee. Actually, when we started with the process, we did explain to members what had happened. Mwen. Good. We then amend that... that the bill was publicized in 11 languages, but that the invitation was.
The call for public comment.
Yes.
Was made in 11
languages. Yes. Including the.
Because the minute that we say publish, then you know you say we. In addition, it was also publicized to national newspapers. You know, just to conform to the rules of parliament. We are really, it's important for that, and also the period of advertisement. So if we know exactly when that was done, if communication, parliamentary communication could tell us exactly when.
She's got it.
Then we can stipulate that in our report. I think that's important, that we complied with the rules of parliament.
Okay. You done page one, page number two? Yes, ma'am.
The other sort of little suggestions for typographical, will we hand it to Hajira?
Yeah.
So it's not substantive issues,
no.
It's just the comma, etc.
Yeah. Page two. Is it finished? Well, I wouldn't say there is nothing really on page two that's substantive. It's technical commas and dots and what have you. Page three. Yes, ma'am.
See, I was just wondering if we look at sort of grammatical corrections, concerns, etc., the committee was concerned about the following, and
send
then the timing, China. The timing and present that, you know, just the reformulation.
Yeah.
Could we perhaps just have a general understanding? But for instance, the last bullet, I would suggest that we change it to the busy parliamentary program with 3 9 whip sessions and committees and the committee schedule providing for a single Tuesday meeting slot. You know, something like that, so that
yeah.
We list that. That's the last bullet on that page. So my suggestion is not that I keep the members behind, but that I just wanted to say that would be my suggestion to reformulate that sentence, just in a little different manner.
Submitted to agenda. Nothing else on page two except the corrections. All these, your suggestion, Madam Sheen, complex, and da-da-da-da-da-da, all those things accommodated. Mama, is there anything?
I'm not saying as soon as she received them.
What is it? Is it technical or is it substantive?
No, no, not substantive.
All non-substantives, just as seldom so Algerian, will affect all those things. I don't want to belabor the type of issues and what have you. Page 3, we find. Page number 4. There is a request that yes, ma'am. Yeah.
What is meant under the heading on page 4, submission received from the call for comments on the bill? It says paragraph about, I think it's 3. It starts, 2 of the submissions were received. Now, we say early. Didn't we mean late? What is early? Was that before the call for submissions? What are we saying?
It's actually late.
When we received 2 small ones before the deadline?
But they never requested for there were 2 that we received at the beginning. Yeah, very small. They were not asking for participation. The 2 that came late, not early. So it's our sound error. Just that early must be late. Am I right? Yes. That's the. Remember, immediately after the when we started with the hearings, there were 2. That were received early, very early, and when we started with the process. In other words, it was closed, but immediately, as we started, the 2 gentlemen, I mean, we even invited them to come and participate. Post them, we then received the other 2, which was from Etegwini and the other place, Acacia, which, you remember the legal advisory services then said, we can still circulate them, there's nothing wrong, and that's where the issue of reasonable measures taken to make sure that they participate. Right. So there are 2 twos, actually there are 4, 3 twos.
What is the significance of this? Why I'm asking is, if we receive before the deadline, whether you receive 2 weeks before the deadline, or 1 week, or 4 weeks before the deadline.
No, let's correct it. There were 2 submissions that were received during the hearings. I think what it says early, it must be saying during the hearings.
Okay.
And then 2 were received after the hearings. I'm just saying that just type of errors which you must just correct. 2 during the hearings and then 2 after the hearings. So apologies. It's now on page... that was page 4. Otherwise, are we fine with the rest? Can you go to page 5? Yeah, it's fine. I think it's more technical also. It's not very substantive. It's just taking out because it's almost repetitive, so it's fine. Page number 5, are we done? Page number 6. Yes, Madam Sheen.
Adding on, if we're talking about the late submissions being from Etegwini and Acacia, I see here that there's the RCT SME Chamber. Did they also request late submission?
I think Chambers is the Etegwini is the one that you remember the just that I may not know the names, but I know Etegwini is one of those and the other one that we had to subject to the legal advisor services. Where they said we can include them because
I'm not speaking,
the name.
If Acacia came along, the Acacia Consultancy.
Acacia came during the,
yes.
What do you call?
And made a presentation last.
Yes.
Okay. I don't recall the ICT SME chamber coming back.
No, they. I think ICT chamber and Etegwini
are together.
Yes, they came after we were done. We discussed them in the first meeting that we had. The very first meeting that we had after the hearings?
After the hearings, yes.
Yes. We, and that's where we called legal services, and they said, okay. Yeah. So these are the two. The other one came during the process, yes.
Okay.
We actually invited the two that came during the process to participate. Oh. There was another capacity that he used to make a submission. You remember that this one there, doubling up? Yes, it's one of the double up. Oh, if there is anything called double up in English. Oh, there is. Thank you, sir. And then there is an issue of tagging. Here there is a substantive matter where the DA would like to put their name on our report that they must be written there. And the subsequent, which is almost covered by the last page, which I think any of the two would still work. But you would want us to quote you.
Yeah, it's true. Yes, sir, because, you know, we made the submission formally to the committee, and on the basis of that, the tagging was changed.
Yeah.
I think that is a, you know, material input to the process.
That's a political issue.
It's not a political issue.
It's a matter for debate.
No, it's not.
But look, if we were to follow that approach, then we'll have to count political parties in our report. It's setting a very bad precedent.
It's not, Chair. It's giving an accurate record of an action that was taken before the hearing started that had a material difference on the processing of the entire legislation. That is a material, factual thing. It's not a political point score.
And
there is an accurate record of what happened.
I am saying if we were to follow that approach in crafting reports, then we are setting a particular precedence. Look, you are a part of the committee. So you participate in the life of the whole report from the beginning to the end. Therefore, bringing the fact that you brought it in writing or you brought it in your input, for me, when it came from the EFF or ANC or whatever, it shouldn't be an issue. We cannot, in crafting our reports, we can talk about people external, but to say amongst ourselves, this came from the ANC, that the DA raised this argument and it was kicked out, and I don't think it would be the right way, except that you want to your name to be there, but personally, I feel we may just set the wrong precedence of writing parliamentary reports.
All right, if you want to take
that the DA may not, because that bothers you, feel free to do so. But I think that the process, the committee actually made the report,
the committee forwarded a document, or a document was tabled in the committee, that the tagging was incorrect and unconstitutional, and that on the basis of this, the tagging was changed.
No.
Can I make a suggestion?
Yes.
Perhaps replace the Democratic Alliance with some members, or two members, or some members.
You see, we have never used that, even if it's one person who has made an issue, even if it's the 20 of you, we have never quoted members in the report. That's the only thing. I'm saying let's not set a wrong precedence. I've never seen it. I mean, I've never seen it in the past 25 years I've been in Parliament. Members would bring submissions, and that's why we allowed you to go and consult and make submissions. We said go speak to your political parties and make submissions, and I said so. And then we received them in different ways. But I am saying let's not set a precedent that is bringing parties into our report. That's all.
Mm-hmm. As I said, I'm quite happy for you to take the Democratic Alliance's name out of there, but I think that what we would need to do
is say that the committee discussed the document or whether it was proposed, which actually pointed to the unconstitutionality of the tagging of the bill. And subsequent to that report being tabled in the committee, the tagging was changed. What I'm trying to do is show that the actual committee had an impact on the entire processing of the bill.
You want to call yes, because I raised the issue as well, and I raised a particular clause that says this clause would definitely be 76. But I'm saying, I can't say, no, the chair raised it. No. So it's fine if you say, they crafted in such a way that there was an issue raised around the tagging by the committee, which was subsequently proven by the submission by the institution later. If you say so, then it's fine, because it was a deliberation. All I'm saying, I think that then we agree, agreeable. Good. We will make sure that in the line that we... Madam Killian, you wanted to come in?
Come in before you had your dialogue with Honourable. It was just a question of Chair. It's extremely difficult because we are processing the technical stages of what we were busy with. Now, what exactly contributed and whoever woke up to what when is very difficult to determine. So I would suggest that we go with something which is sort of explaining that it was brought to the committee, something like on Tuesday, 27 November, the day after the committee started public hearings, Parliament's APC report corrected the tagging of the book. And then we say that we then determined that post public hearing, Parliamentary Legal Services admitted that there was an error. You know, that we correct that, because I think for future reference, it's important that we have a reference to an error that was made by Parliamentary Services, So I would suggest that, but it would really be unheard of to have a submission by a political party recorded as such, because, you know, in the end, what gave rise to the committee's concerns about the technical nature, etc.? Was it one particular presentation? Was it one submission? No, it was a general feeling that was established that there could be a problem with the tagging. So I just want to say that I believe that we record it in such a way that we make sure that there is an error that is recorded made by Parliamentary Legal Services. And that should go down in the committee report, certainly.
Madam, Mr. McKenzie?
Thank you, Chairperson. We're delighted to come after Mrs. McKenzie over there. Chairperson, perhaps we could just replace, I mean, I don't see a problem with any of this, and certainly I think we're in agreement that we take the DA out. If we just replace the Democratic Alliance with the committee, I think that would work very well and addresses everyone's concerns.
Submissions were made.
Thank you.
A. Ian Tulin.
Undisciplined members. Thank you, Chair.
The next page. And apologies that we couldn't serve you breakfast. I don't know what happened. But looks like they have now since delivered whatever it is. We are on page 7. It's fine. It's more technical issues. It's okay. Page number 8. Also quite a lot of technical issues. Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, it's perfect. It's perfect. And then the last page, I request that members we just find a way as to how do we conclude, do our last conclusion and recommendation. The first item, the committee has not finished the work of the bill. I mean, has not finished processing the bill. I think that one is fine. Now, we can make recommendations because the thing has been withdrawn. No, no, it has been withdrawn. There's a letter circulated there.
Wait, yeah. But it would need to be deleted.
But it is withdrawn. How do you want us to craft it? Because we can't make recommendations anymore.
Yeah. I think we need to, in some way, reflect that we regarded the law in such a serious light that we wanted it to be withdrawn. I think we need to actually say that. Because had there not been a change of minister, this would not have happened. I know it's not semantics as such, but I think...
Now you're bringing a political matter. What has happened?
Let me know. I think it was important for people to understand the conclusions that this committee came to. We aren't sort of now saying, okay, this is fine, it's the minister's mandate.
But
we felt very strongly that the bill should be withdrawn.
Madam Sheen, you are making a serious insinuation. And it has not been tested. No, you're saying had it not been. I think it's we can't test it. So I can't think so. All I'm saying is the report of the committee, in the report we had indicated that we first recommended that we must withdraw the bill. We didn't say it now, we said it even during the hearings. And alternatively, that if they are not withdrawing, we are going to recommend for new parliament to invoke it if they want to, or leave it to die, because that's another way of withdrawing.
Yeah.
But now that the bill has been withdrawn, let's just make submissions. Just cut something for me, for us to close. You can either say, it was the view of the committee that the bill should either be withdrawn, or actually the first prize was that it be withdrawn. Subsequently, on the 11th, the minister sent an intention to withdraw the bill, of which the committee has welcomed. Moi? Court?
No, that's what goes. No, they go on.
These recommendations are no more than, that we've squashed them out. We only have one thing remaining. The first one, and then the second one, which was a topic that we had wanted, and then the minister withdrew. And then the thing is withdrawn. Mama Julie?
I was wondering, Chairperson, if we shouldn't have one sentence to say, if we retain the committee has not completed its deliberations on the bill. The committee is, however, of the opinion that there is further deliberations would be necessary with industry, or say the committee was uncomfortable with divergent views and conflicting views expressed by the industry, by the sector, and consequently suggests, and then subsequent we received correspondence from the minister indicating that she intends to withdraw the bill.
Crafted in the manner in which the minister was addressing us, that they have started, guided by the committee advices during the hearings, they had started to engage with the industry, and they feel that they need sufficient space to do it, and therefore withdrawing the bill, and the committee supports that withdrawal. So we'll keep it. But if someone would like to do it in a proper English, Madam Shim, Madam Killian, you can do help us. Yeah. We can't touch the Scottish representative. He may write it in Scottish and we may not understand it. No, it was on a light note, Madam Baba McKenzie. Madam?
No, sir, I think you're not saying would it now. The professor does it now.
Who is the professor?
Professor Martin. Professor Finish. Not now. You read something and what to.
Yeah, I said that they must craft something and submit to me. Can you just craft the submissions to me, Madam Killian and Madam Chin, and then we will infuse it in the light. I mean, in line with what we have just conceived. Can we then put the report as proposed? Oh, actually, we've got a very qualified content advisor here. Why do we struggle when he's here? We were struggling because we had no support. Sir, you craft the recommendation as was discussed. Thank you very much. And welcome. Don't worry about crafting. The two members can rest. We've got a person who gets paid to do that. I'll do the oversight on your behalf. I put the report, Madam Chin.
That's the whole plan to come in after we pass the whole
thing. Not the bill. The report. I put the proposed report, Madam Chin.
Subject to the sort of just the small and yana little correction.
Thank you. Madam?
Good.
Any objection? No. Thank you, Madam Chin. You wanted to come in on something else?
Chair, I just wanted to record an appreciation of your role in the entire process of this bill. You're relatively new to the sector, and believe me, it takes decades to become familiar with all of its stuff. But you handled it very well professionally as a chair, and you declined to be, rushed into, which was pressure from Parliament or whoever to actually get the thing passed at this Parliament. And you rejected that idea in favour of us having proper support from legal and researchers. And I think there are very few, in my experience, committee chairs that have been that independent and strong in demanding proper resources for the committee. And I think that much of where we are today is thanks to your chairmanship of and your steering of this bill. So thank you, sir.
That I'm going to be careful when I get commended by the opposition.
No, it's a double kick.
Yes?
Let's do that ourselves. She is seeking a little bit of a comment to you. A compliment as well. Can I just say that we all appreciate that. Chair, when you took over, you had to really plunge yourself into the sector, and you've really done so with distinction. And thank you for having led us through this process, because it is a very difficult process. It is complex. It's of a seriously a problematic technical nature to understand the different interests and how they compete with each other and what is the right road to travel to really make sure that we, as the elected representatives of Parliament, make sure that we always take our sort of responsibility serious, that we cannot be cajoled into just playing into the one sector and to support that sector, because here obviously we need to make sure that we implement government policies but to benefit the people at large, as well as those industry players who have been excluded as a result of whatever the historic nature of the development of telecommunications was. So thank you for taking that lead and for making sure that we could today report back on our experience of the bill and what went wrong, and that also going forward it would be a lesson for Parliament and for the Executive that it is not the right way to come with legislation right at the end of a parliamentary term and to think that Parliament will just rubber stamp it. We really take our work seriously, Chair. We really appreciate the fact that you basically demanded
support for our committee, which we didn't get, but it will be contained in our report, and Parliament can also reprioritize funding for committees that deal with extremely highly technical legislation before us. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. No, it was on a lighter note, Madam Chair. But thank you very much. I guess the committee members have been very helpful to take us to this level, and I can only thank you for your inputs, your good work, your thoroughness in a very short space of time to go through very serious documents. And I was hoping to see you sleeping on TV and you were awake all the time, so people must vote you back into office. I'm the only one who's going on retirement. I've had enough of Parliament. That takes us to the next matter, the legacy report. That's your legacy. I have not been there. So I'm a very neutral person. This is where I'm neutral, Madam Chair. Legacy report. I was not part of you. You were on your own. They are also almost very technical submissions or proposals. Page one. Yes, ma'am.
Is somebody tagged?
Because this was written before we had deliberated on our report on the bill, and obviously we hadn't drilled our recommendations. So therefore, we need to, in here, section number three, key areas for future work, reword that paragraph, committee conducted public hearings, and whatever we've, want the stakeholders to meet to make friends and come up with an amicable solution. So we obviously need to change that in line with our good man's wording for what we've agreed in our report.
I will take your note. Thank you. Page number two. In other words, what we are saying here, everywhere where there is reference to this ECA amendment bill, we need to rework it in such a way that it takes the final outcome that we have arrived at today. Even the recommendations. Okay, page number two, anything else except this one? Page number three, there are technical recommendations which were made by Honorable McKenzie, and I think we've accepted all of them. Page number four, page number five, those inclusions are fine. Page number six. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Chair. There are two things on this page that bothered me. One, the very first line of the table says that in 2018 the committee had 29 meetings. In the annual report we say 30. So we need to find out which one of those is correct and make the necessary amendment. And then I was concerned of the list of stakeholders from the department. They really have been shy to engage with the sector if they could only come up with, what was it, six names of people they've been engaging with over the past 5 years. They also missed totally the fixed line, the fibre people, the people who put the cable in the ground. They also miss out industry bodies. They make absolutely no reference to the minister's appointed ICT forum. So one thinks that they, either they actually just haven't been, this needs to be fuller. I know that they've engaged more people than the network operator.
And they make it look like the only thing they've done in 5 years is talk to six cell phone companies.
The committee interacted with us.
Yes. Possibly 5 years. Okay, well, we've engaged more people with that, surely.
There are more people.
Well, I mean, Alison Johnwell, for example, when we did, when we also had BMI Technology come, we had BMI Technology and Alison Johnwell come and talk to us about South Africa Connect. Now I'm just going right off my head here. There were other people that we had involved. So,
fine,
we can look for some more people? Or whatever, okay?
Yeah, fine. If we miss out on anything else, just make it, let's submit it so that we submit to Hegera.
I also just wanted to, the other thing, Chair, this is on a
editorial thing, is that the fonts change throughout the document. there needs to be, because you know, we do cut and paste a lot, but obviously we now need to see what's going together, make sure that it's all the same font.
Take care of that, thank you. Page number 7. Page number 8.
Obviously, this is the EC8 on Jan 1st to 8 to 9. We need to
correct that. The ECA bill starts at the bottom of page 8 and goes on to page 9. So we need to amend that.
Yes.
I've already given that instruction.
The
ECA will be dealt with appropriately in line with how we have concluded today. Page number 10. Page number 11. Yeah, the font is on page number 12. Page number 13, page number 14, page number 15, page number 16, page number 17, page number last. And thank you for those technical, Madam Zotefi.
Yeah, Chair, sorry to do this, I'm just trying to think aloud on page 6, that we may not attempt to go back and check all minutes and ascertain who else we meet. And this document being a public document, can we maybe, it's possible for us to add an other to the end, so those we may not have mentioned, do not like.
Yeah.
Listening very attentively. Good. Shall I put the report? Madam?
Yes.
Not in favor? any support? Any mover? Moved and seconded appropriately. Thank you. Shall we go to the annual report? Hajira. No, the annual report, well, the question that I had in my mind is, when does it start and when does it end? The annual report. Does it start in December? So it means our years don't follow the.
It's
not a parliamentary term. They just from January to December. Okay, it's fine. And that one was from whenever to. It's okay. Just one, because. It therefore doesn't become an annual report. But it is some kind of an annual report which doesn't coincide with the parliamentary term. Which is, but it's fine, it's a small technical, and that's where in most cases you would then have the issue that you raised which you may have
29, 30
things. But it's fine. Just find an appropriate number. Shall we then take the report, the annual report, page number one? We are using two reports because the one who has written back is the Honourable Sir. Page number two. Page number three. Page number four. Page number five. Page number six. Page number seven. Page number eight. And then there's a question on page number nine, which must be responded to. There's a question. Yes. Mr. McKenzie is asking, where was this study tour? Because he did not, he did not undertake it.
But the woman in the prison regard seems to be there.
Okay, it did not happen, Mr. McKenzie. Sorry.
Unfortunately.
It's something that was, we're hoping to have it. It was never. And then the stakeholders again, I think you will have to. On this one, I can vouch for what Mr. Madam Shins raised. I think let's try and bring them all. That's our page number nine.
Sorry, Chair.
Yes, sir.
I can just talk to stakeholders. The only time we really engaged with SMILE, for example, was at the ECA hearings. And I think that's unfortunate, because I certainly would have liked to have engaged more with SMILE and more with Irene Charnley, you know, to see how her business is developing. So perhaps next time around. Perhaps somebody can help me here. Rain. They appeared quite often at the committee, or representative of the committee, but they never feature in our stakeholders, and they are quite a big player. So perhaps we can include them. Thank you, Chair.
So true. Very true. But let's also include, because it's now this term, let's include the rest of the other people. Page number nine. Page number 10 and page number 11 and yes, ma'am.
If I could make a suggestion, I'm off it.
But we say, and obviously this won't affect me, but the study tours to be undertaken during 2019. I think now that the bill's been withdrawn, I think we need to focus on something more futuristic looking rather than sort of looking at the content of the bill, seeing the bill has been withdrawn. You know, now sort of thinking of something like digital inclusion in developing countries like Malaysia or India or wherever, in networks, so it might be more appropriate for future looking than saying this is what was in the bill. So I think we perhaps need to just...
Sir, are you listening? You'll help. Futuristic looking, than looking back now that the ECA is gone, at countries that may possibly enhance the exposure of members, including those that were mentioned. Madam Baba McKenzie and Ma'am Julie.
Thank you, Chair. Your opening remark about Thailand and the similarities in terms of GDP, but the disparity in terms of internet penetration, I thought that was very pithy. It was very well said. So So, you know, perhaps you could word that more generally in there instead of, as Honourable Shin said, mentioning the ECA bill. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Madam Jolene?
Chair, I thought what we could do is on this matter, study tour is undertaken, we should say, well, we don't need to say it, but it's regrettable that it was turned down. But whatever the situation is, the committee has made application to visit Malaysia and Singapore in 2017, however, it was not approved. And then we should say, since committee members can benefit a lot from exposure to countries who have who are having very successful digital, including inclusive practices, it is suggested that there should be a 2019 study tour before any further legislation is processed. You know, something to that that's more general, like what Shimon said, not relating to the ECA amendment bill as such, because we heard what the minister said. She said the issue is, do we keep on amending, or do we craft new legislation? Now, for parliamentary committee to be ready for a new approach, it would be necessary to be exposed to those countries where the digital gap was closed successfully. You know, even middle-income countries, other members, such as, or whatever, but to have a general approach to that particular necessity. People think it is a gallivanting exercise, but really not. The point is, we need to know what were the drivers in other countries for successful inclusion of marginalized communities. Thank you, Chair.
Good point taken. Page number 11, and the last page. Can I get a mover? Moved and seconded. Thank you. Are we done for the day? Yes, ma'am.
Sorry, I'd like to make a suggestion on a revised program we came up today.
Yep, although it's still a draft, we still have not concretized it because we still have to interface with the program of parliament because we don't know when you are attending. Yes, but you may speak.
Thank you, Chair. I would like to recommend very, very strongly that the very last item on the program, the update on digital migration, be brought forward. Because our understanding is that Parliament will rise on about the 20th of March, before Human Rights Day, there's going to be nothing on that day. Or very difficult to call people back on that day. And my concern is that if it then drops off the programme altogether, for lack of interest or whatever, it will mean that this Parliament has had only one briefing on this critical programme, and that was at the end of 2016.
You
need to actually move that forward.
You're talking about a joint...
I
requested you last time to go and speak to your colleagues so that they are able to mobilize.
They're fussed with SADC.
That's a constraint. So we can try, but we depend on their persuasion. Otherwise, we can put it up and we defeat our own project and program. But perhaps if you can also go back, request them to pursue it, then I'll also try from my side. And if we can get it earlier, we'll do it. But yeah, we run the risk of putting something that's going to happen. It's happened. It disrupted us actually last time around. But let's give it a last shot. Because they withdrew, remember?
Yeah.
They withdrew. The minister actually, when the new minister came in, who is now no more the minister, also said, wait a minute with that submission, so the committee also withdrew, so we couldn't proceed. We have a new minister now, she arrived yesterday. The risk is a bit higher, but let's give it a run. Let's try and give it a shot again. Good.
You can enjoy your breakfast. The meeting stands adjourned. It was supposed to be in the morning, so I don't know what to call it, brunch?